must change my ways. Change my ways. Those evil. So I set out, cross that way, strike them down, to make them pay, and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't.
We have been listening over the last, well, few segments of today's broadcast, this Friday, December 21st, 2018, to James Corbett's interview with Michigan State University professor Dr. Mark Skidmore, discussing the missing trillions, the Pentagon's missing trillions. And as you've heard, Mark Skidmore is a balanced, level-headed guy. He's not coming at this from an unbalanced perspective. And the reason I say that in particular is because after having reviewed the documents, I mean, he's said during the interview, "I'm not unreasonable," basically, as I would put it in my words. And I understand that when we're talking about trillions, you know, over years and even decades, you know, so many transactions, obviously no one person or even several people could account for all of that. But as he has said, he's whittled down his inquiry to some 170 transactions that represent about a tenth the overall 21 trillion. So $2.1 trillion represented by 170 unaccounted transactions. And so all he's saying is, Can we get some kind of reconciliation? Can we get some kind of accounting, some kind of audit, some kind of information that pertains to these 170 transactions? That's not too difficult. 170, one person could certainly probably handle that. We're told, again, you know, I've mentioned Lysander Spooner and no treason, the Constitution of no authority. It doesn't matter what, if a person calls himself a public servant, if when you ask your public servant, so-called, for a reconciliation, an accounting on this information, and you get nothing, or you get stonewalled, as seems to be the case. And I think, you know, like James points out, it's astonishing. This is not the story of the year, decade, millennium. And this is just one agency. This is the Pentagon, DOD. This is just one agency. There's HUD that's on the periphery. They're talking about Treasury. And my thought is, you know, Treasury's been captured for, well, I mean, at least since 1913, right? The Treasury is essentially a subsidiary of the New York Fed at this point. And so this is something that everyone should be talking about. And I feel like efforts have been made. You know, I was thinking during the break about, you know, Tim Russert and his efforts. Hey, you guys are both members of Skull and Bones, right? And he got Russerted. And there have been other efforts along the way. And I think that one of the big problems is that those efforts are usually masked. They're veiled in, they're cloaked in, you know, esoteric and, you know, plausibly deniable, duplicitous sort of terms and language. It's language the general public doesn't understand per se, unless they're trafficking in this sort of information. And, you know, so I think the hope is that in those efforts, people will sense that there's more being said there and they'll pick up on that and run with it. I think we need to start talking in more open terms. I mean, I've said this before. I think we need to dispense with the paper tiger, the CIA's paper tiger, 1967, you know, memo 10-3-5-960, conspiracy theory, conspiracy theorists. We need to dispense with that paper tiger because the facts are astounding and overwhelming. I mean, James Corbett and Mark Skidmore are talking about the facts. And again, you know, Mark Skidmore talks about the impossibility of an agency with a $120 billion budget having a $6.5 trillion accounting adjustment, which is why initially hearing Catherine Austin Fitz make that statement, and that statement comes from the OIG's report. This is a government report. Mark Skidmore says, I basically, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Mark Skidmore says, I heard Catherine Austin Fitz say that an agency with $120 billion budget, roughly, has a $6.5 trillion accounting adjustment. And I thought, well, maybe she just, you know, fell down and bumped her head. Maybe she fell out of bed and bumped her head one day. I mean, that's not possible. By orders of magnitude, you know, like I said, he basically is saying, it sounds like she's got her numbers backwards. I have tremendous respect for her, but these numbers sound bad. I mean, they're upside down, obviously. Maybe $120 billion adjustment on a $6.5 trillion budget, right? Nope. Not according to the OIG. And this is not a story. Yes, there is a conspiracy. That's what happens when people plot in secret to do something. History tells us that happens. It is a conspiracy, and these are the facts of it. Absolutely, it's a conspiracy. There's no theory about it. There is some conjecture and guessing because obviously the books are cooked. So as Mark Skidmore pointed out, this is colossal fraud. And, you know, he's saying we're going to jump back in and finish this clip here in a second. We have, I don't know, around 5 minutes left or something. But like he was saying, you know, the last one of the last things he said is the numbers are so big, they just start to fly away. You know, trillions. 1 trillion is 1,000 billion, which is 1,000 million. I mean, those numbers are staggering. James says, you know, couldn't possibly come down to one person, has to involve multiple people at multiple levels. Again, Cornpone opinions, you know, how does it happen? The Lucifer effect meets Cornpone opinions, basically. Show me where a man gets his Cornpone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. Gradually, you know, you have people conscripted to evil. Hey, you know what? You want to live comfortably, right? You don't want to get martyred on the altar, do you? Well, you know, we played the clip from Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That was 1939. They're smart. They take my advice. Lastly, again, you know, I mentioned Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. It's Chapter 3, Forms of Government. Jan Kozak's book, How Parliament Took a Revolutionary Part in the Transition to Socialism and the Role of the Popular Masses, the American version of the book titled Not a Shot is Fired and Not a Shot is Fired, The Communist Strategy for Subverting a Representative Government. How does this happen? You heard them talk about what I described, where basically the Pentagon and the federal government at large is trying to get credit for a failed audit. Yay, we tried to do it. And then that failure is misappropriated as a justification for creating a technocratic council that's going to decide in secret what the American public, you know, what constitutes a national security issue, and therefore what the American public can see. The same people that are deciding what's a national emergency are going to decide what accounting information the American public is going to see. And I can guarantee you that council will end up being comprised of Philip Drew administrator. And by the way, again, what is the definition of council and committee, or the Russian translation? Council, committee, it's Soviet. So there's that little sort of peripheral issue. Jan Kozak's 1957 book, Mr. Kozak describes what has been called the pincers movement, the method by which the conspirators can use the parliament. And again, you know, you have other factors. Vladislav Surkov, you know, avant-garde theater, nonlinear war, wearing people out, you know, like Adam Curtis put it. You know, you end up saying it's overwhelming. Oh, dear. But that's what they want you to say. It's not overwhelming. That's the point. We need to stick, you know, stand fast. You get this, you know, the biblical sort of concept of standing fast. This is where we're standing and we're not moving. It's not like the social media feed. It's not like your Facebook feed where, oh yeah, that went away. That was important yesterday. That was important for 20 minutes. That's not important anymore. No. Turn off, shut it all down. Shut it all down. This is where we stop. And the reason that I'm sort of fixated on this, and I started, here's the connection back to, you know, I mentioned Richie from Boston mentioning that this spraying issue is an issue, and how, you know, CNN is running articles recently. I've mentioned maybe this is the answer. Maybe we should block out the sun. And, you know, John Brennan said at the CFR back in 2016, it's cheap and it only costs about $10 billion. But you know what? The more we dig into the numbers, actually what we should do is be honest and say, based on experience, it'll only cost about $2 to $3.5 billion to spray the whole planet. How great is that? Well, where is all of this coming from? Could it possibly be coming from these unaccounted ledger entries? Again, you start going back, you start nipping this stuff in the bud, and it takes you right back to the Federal Reserve. Get rid of it. Get rid of it all. There's so much graft, corruption, greed, theft. It's just, there is a sort of rampant putrefaction that's occurring. You know, to say that we are collapsing from within is, I think, to put it romantically. It is really, it's putrefaction that we're seeing in America. That's what's happening. You know, it's gangrene, it's rot, it's putrefaction. And, you know, you have people in this process who, and again, it gets back to that whole, you know, junkie sort of culture, jumping from one false foundation and shifting sand to another as things putrefy and liquefy. Oh, there's no solid ground under my feet. Got to keep jumping. That's what these people are doing. What happens when pirates seize the whole world? Well, this. Ralph Epperson, The Unseen Hand, Chapter 3, Forms of Government. Jan Kozak's 1957 book, And Not a Shot is Fired, the American title. And Not a Shot is Fired, the Communist Strategy for Subverting a Representative Government. Mr. Kozak describes what has been called the pincers movement, the method by which the conspirators can use the parliament, the pressure from above, and the mob, the pressure from below. This is, I think Gary Allen did a good job of reiterating this in None Dare Call It Conspiracy. The pincers movement, the parliament, the pressure from above, the mob, the pressure from below to convert a democracy into a dictatorship, or in this case, a constitutional republic, right? First you tell them it's a democracy. What does that mean? Mob rule. Awesome. Mr. Kozak explained his strategy. A preliminary condition for carrying out fundamental social changes and for making it possible that Parliament be made use of for the purpose of transforming a capitalistic society into a socialistic one is A, to fight for a firm parliamentary majority, which would ensure and develop a strong pressure from above, and, you know, and it's I can't help come back to, we keep hearing, oh, the elections are so close. Do you remember early on in the post 9/11 era when Clint Curtis told us, he told Congress that, and this keeps, this keeps vanishing. It keeps evaporating. Why? We talk about all kinds of things around elections and voting. Clint Curtis, that's like, you know, the canary coal mine moment. Clint Curtis says, you know, you could rig these boxes in such a way, reprogram them in such a way that they would throw every election 51-49, and you couldn't tell unless you had a paper receipt, which gets back to my point about, you know, absentee ballots, or at least a receipt, some kind of accounting, some kind of reconciliation where we can compare notes. Because what happens with the national election pool is they tell the American public who they voted for most of the time before you even go to the polls. And then those numbers, that magic trick, that fake number has to be substantiated by the local precincts through a variety of means. And there's always shenanigans when it comes to that. Always. What did we hear this year? More shenanigans. You know, absentee ballots being driven in somebody's trunk. Oh, you know what? Here they are. They picked the winner on election day by 7 or 8 o'clock at night, you know, before the polls close, obviously, by about 7. Oh, look, this guy's going to win. Tomorrow morning, we can't seem to find all the ballots. Oh, no, here they are. Here are the ballots. They're coming. They were in Dave's trunk. So Clint Curtis tells us, not only is this possible, but he says, you know, and they say, how do you know? Well, you know, I was hired by Tom Feeney to do this. When was that? 2001. So we keep going away from this. Anyway, so you have the parliamentary majority. Again, how does this work? How do you create this kind of a system to move in the direction of social change? And it's authoritarian. It's dictatorial. You have to couple what Ralph Epperson is saying here with what Friedrich Hayek wrote in chapter 10, actually chapter 2, chapter 3, 9, 10 of The Road to Serfdom, about how socialism is frankly authoritarian. Remember, I mention that excerpt all the time. Hayek's Road to Serfdom, chapter 2. The French writers who laid the foundation of modern socialism had no doubt that their ideas could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. Is that American? To them, socialism meant an attempt. And this, you know, people talk about stuff. I've said this a million times. We want to wax soft about socialism, this ism, that ism. Make mine freedom. Remember that, 1948? We should play that. I keep wanting to come back to that too. The real problem with socialism is here. This is the problem. Hayek summed it up in chapter 2, The Great Utopia. Oh, it's a utopian vision, the freedom. You know, remember the old freedom? The great apostles of political freedom. To them, the word freedom had meant freedom from coercion, freedom from the arbitrary power of other men. Released from the ties which left the individual no choice but obedience to the orders of a superior to whom he was attached. The new freedom promised, however, was to be freedom from necessity. Not even necessity, freedom from want. What does that mean? It's so arbitrary. It's so subjective. That means whatever you want it to mean. What does that sound like? Sounds like the devil's gift, doesn't it? Devil's promise, devil's gift. Both oxymorons. All lies. So Hayek tells us, reminds us, the French writers who laid the foundations of modern socialism had no doubt that their ideas could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. To them, socialism meant an attempt to terminate the Marxist, dare I say, revolution by a deliberate reorganization of society on hierarchical lines and by the imposition of a coercive spiritual power. You see how it goes together with the passage I'm reading from Epperson's Unseen Hand? You foment the revolution, and then you terminate the revolution by a deliberate reorganization. I go back to that analogy of the football game, you know, that metal football board that we used to have as kids, some of us, and you turn the little vibrating thing up and the players all vibrate and fall over. You disrupt society. Privateers are really good for that. Remember? The privateers themselves were often simply pirates who would take advantage of wars between nations to gain semi-legal status for their enterprises. By the end of the 19th century, the practice of issuing letters of marque had fallen out of favor because of the chaos it caused and its role in inadvertently, wink, wink, encouraging piracy. Terminate the revolution, deliberate reorganization of society on hierarchical lines and by the imposition of a coercive spiritual power. Where freedom was concerned, the founders of socialism made no bones about their intentions. Freedom of thought, freedom of thought. They regarded as the root evil. Hey, by the way, can we get an accounting of, you know, you got these, just these 170 transactions that represent $2.1 trillion. The full faith and credit of the American people is on the line for $2.1 trillion. You know, thousands of dollars for every man, woman, and child. Can we get a little accounting? Not the whole thing, but just these 170 transactions. Where freedom was concerned, the founders of socialism made no bones about their intentions. Freedom of thought they regarded as the root evil of 19th century society. For some modern planners, Saint Simon even predicted that those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle. Can we get those 170, just those 170 transactions, $2.1 trillion, more than India's GDP. Can we just get an accounting of those? Nothing to see here. Move along. This is need to know. You don't need to know. Move along. Really? I've mentioned it before. The Milken scandal, the SNL scandal. People went to prison. Who went to prison 10 years ago? The whistleblower. Who's going to prison now? I think Mark Skidmore is right. Someone should be in prison. And, that's putting it mildly. Pirates gripped the world. So Ralph Epperson tells us from Jan Kozak's book, 1957 book, here's how it works. Here's how you create the shift from a capitalistic or a free society into a socialistic one. First, you fight for a firm parliamentary majority. And by the way, there are no sides. Again, Ned Beatty's quote, Senator Charles Meacham, right? There are no sides, only haves and have-nots, from Shooter. How do you do it? A, you fight for a firm parliamentary majority, which would ensure and develop a strong pressure from above. And B, to see to it that this firm parliamentary majority should rely on the revolutionary activity of the broad working masses exerting pressure from below. And that's always fomented, co-opted, conscripted. We got to steer the soundbite, make it sound like the angry mob, which we created, wants this. And so we're going to give it to them good and hard. This what? Continuing, Epperson wrote, what Mr. Kozak proposed was a five-part program to seize control of a government. First step consisted of having the conspiracy's own people infiltrate the government. Step two, create a real or alleged grievance, usually through either an action of government or through some situation where the government should have acted and didn't. And it's always contrived, fomented. Step three consisted in having a mob created by the real or alleged grievance. And again, crowdsondemand.com, that the government or the conspiracy caused demand that the problem be solved by a government action, the pressure from below. Step four, have the conspirators and government remedy, wink, wink, the real or alleged situation with some oppressive legislation. Doesn't that sound like what James and Mark are discussing? Wait a minute. That's what you're going to do? That's backwards. Step five, rinse and repeat. That's how it works, folks. That's exactly what we're watching as pirates steal the world before our very eyes and in Bernaysian fashion gaslight us all the while, patting us on the head. No, that's not what's happening. That's not what we're keeping you safe and secure. Nothing to see here as we keep you safe and secure. Move along. Hopefully that makes sense. We're headed to the break, I believe. I want to play the rest of the clip, and I also want to go to the phones. So we definitely need to play the rest of the clip. I think we'll go to the phones first after the break, and then before we run out of time, what we've already heard is scandalous and damning, but we need to hear a little bit more. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour already this Friday, December 21st, 2018. Again, happy solstice. Not. So, just a quick point, and we'll go to the phones. The United States Census Bureau helps us out. We're talking, so Mark Skidmore just wants to know about 170 transactions, $2.1 trillion to start. So if you go to census.gov/popclock, population clock, 386. Now it's up to 397. So that's, you do the math, that's almost $6,400 for every man, woman, and child in America. If we go to the bigger number, the 21 trillion, 10 times that, obviously that's about $64,000 for every man, woman, and child. Again, the Census Bureau helps us out. They just published an article a few weeks ago, December 6th, five-year trends available for median household income, poverty rates, and computer and internet use. Curiously, as I've mentioned recently, by county and county equivalent, Loudoun County, Virginia, Fairfax County, Virginia, Howard County, Maryland, Falls Church City, Virginia, Arlington County, Virginia, were among the highest counties by median household income. Again, Cornpone Opinions. Show me where a man gets his cornpone. Tell you what his opinions is. Is what we're doing illegal? Is it unethical? Well, if it's not illegal, so if it's not illegal, then it must not be. It must be ethical. This, you know, maybe in Arlington and Langley and Fairfax, you know, places like that, maybe their motto should be don't be evil. But that didn't work out so well for Google. I want to play the clip, but for now we'll go to the phones. To the phones, Fred in Iowa, right? Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Fred.
I'm going to talk about where our focus should be. And that is keep our focus on the first and second beast of Revelation 13. Whether you know it or not, your whole show has been on the second beast. And the people just don't get it. You take chapter 13 of Revelation, the first 10 verses are a cover of the second, first beast of Revelation. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 cover the second beast of Revelation. And he gives his power unto the first beast of Revelation. And you talk about the first beast of Revelation all the time, whether you know it or not. The people don't get it. Their attention's there. That's a good thing. But if they don't understand it in the Word, they don't know how not to get the mark of the beast. Got anything to say?
Well, I think it's a great point. Do you want to, I know you've done it in the past, but do you want to just kind of flesh that out a little bit?
Well, I don't want to take up, well, I do want to take up some time. In chapter 13 of Revelation, it starts out, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. That's a church. That's a system of governing the people. And the beast I saw was likened to a leopard, and that represents Greece, the feet of a bear, and that covers golly, I can't think of the name right now. In his mouth, a lion and a dragon gave him his power. Well, the dragon is the devil, and he gives his power unto this first beast. And I saw as if it were, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That happened in 1798 when Berthier, the general of France, went in and took the Pope captive. And he died in incarceration. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave the power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That was up in 1844. And he opened his mouth. This is the beast. And he opened his mouth blaspheming against God, to blaspheme his name and tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him, the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that shall killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience of the saints. And then it goes on, the next 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 is the U.S. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Well, everybody talks about and is said over and over again on RBN, which is a great thing, talking about the first beast. What that is present truth. Understand, present truth means what is happening right now, day by day, every day. But if you don't understand the Bible, you will not understand present truth. And you will not understand the gravity of what's happening, even though you get it put before you day in and day out, day in and day out. But the ship, you talk about the pirates. I can't say the verse verbatim, but the ship stood way off as the beast and the system was being killed. That's when Christ returns and destroys the first beast. And the pirates, or the ships, are the international businesses that collude with the first beast.
Right.
It's
chapter 18, verse 17, and I was thinking, you know, obviously there's a lot that, you know, goes into this. Daniel, several chapters in Daniel, several other chapters in Revelation, other chapters, but Revelation 18, Mystery Babylon, and verse 17 in particular, that's the, you know, the crews who all ply their trade on the sea stood a long way off, all of that.
Well, we got to get the three angels' message out, but it is happening right now before your eyes. And you put out such excellent information, the best on RBN. But even hosts that I don't hold in high regard put out good information, too, about the beast. They may not know it. But anyhow, I've had my spiel. I'll get off. So have a good day.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate it, as always. And, you know, as a backdrop of Fred's remarks and, you know, dialogue with Glenn and Philly and others, I will only say this, and then we'll go back to the clip because I want to finish the segment that we need to play. But, you know, from Revelation 13, I guess the verse that is perhaps the most provocative, challenging, difficult is verse 7. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. So, you know, again, to Fred's point, I mean, those are the times. These are the signs. And so, speaking of the signs, back to, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying to hold the line, you know. I believe that's my directive. So I will do what I can to sound the alarm and just keep providing, you know, a reminder, uncomfortable or otherwise, that, you know, this shouldn't be this way. So anyway, back to James Corbett interviewing MSU professor Dr. Mark Skidmore on the Pentagon's missing trillions. Go ahead, please.
You know, a trillion is 1,000 billion. A billion is 1,000 million. So we're talking about such huge numbers, it's just hard to
I was thinking today about that number, 2.1 trillion, which was announced on September 10th, 2001. It had been floating around for several months at that point. But I remember thinking of that number and thinking, oh, 2 trillion, and realizing I myself in my own head was rounding that off to the nearest trillion. I was rounding off $100 billion just because, you know, the 2.1, 2 trillion, it's the same thing. No, I was rounding off $100 billion, which is 1/6 of the budget of the Pentagon in its entirety. I mean, again, we can't wrap our heads around these numbers. It's just utterly unfathomable.
I think, you know, coming back to your question, what can we know? And I think one thing we can know is that the government is hiding, right? So this is coming out, but my goodness, no real underlying data has been released. Nobody is saying, yeah, please have a look at these transactions. They're hiding. You know, if you flip a coin, it's a 50% chance it'll be heads or tails. If you flip two coins, it's a 25% chance that you'll get two heads in a row. And if you flip three coins, what are the odds that you'll get three heads in a row? And, of course, that's 12.5%. Well, so I have about 10 things that favor non-transparency, you know, that have happened along the way. So now we're talking about, well, what's the likelihood? You know, I don't know what these probabilities are, but what's the likelihood? You know, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, and 50%, well, they just redacted the report because that was the right, wise thing to do. They, maybe they were just revising their website, and that's why they pulled all those reports off, and then eventually they put them back. Maybe it really was that. Right? Let's just give them a 50% and 50% chance that they were actually trying to hide something, right? So if you just assign all of those 10 things that have happened, full redaction of the reports, you know, the government, you know, at this particular time, changing the reporting rules in the favor of non-transparency. At one point, Dave Lindorf gave an interview on NPR, and whether this was, you know, I don't know that for whatever reason that it emerged, but he mischaracterized me and said, well, Mark just thinks that these are just plugs. And that's not true. I don't know, right? And I can't get more information. So all these things happen in the favor of sort of characterizing this as just, big comedy of errors. And what's the probability of those 10 things happening? And it's so small. It's like 0.09. I did the calculation. You know, 0.097% chance.
You're such an economist.
All of these things could happen in the direction of non-transparency. And it's like, well, what's the likelihood of that? And so it appears to me that we can confidently say our government, it's not just DOD, our government is hiding lots of stuff. And and why are they hiding? Is it because it's just all fake numbers? That's one conclusion you could make. Are they hiding because they're just incompetent? That's another conclusion you can make. Are they hiding because there's a whole lot of stuff going on, far more spending on who knows what, that could have, you know, real global implications and implications for the financial markets? And
right, well, let's get into that. As you say, you're working with Catherine.
So there you go. We're going to stop there. Like I said earlier, even though – like you're probably riveted. I am. I mean, this should be the discussion. And again, Mike Rogers' prescient coincidences Benghazi remark comes to mind. in this case, 10 coincidences in favor of conspiracy, as Mark Skidmore just pointed out. These things just happen to, you know, fall in the favor of conspiracy, you know, and yeah, it's just coincidence. And I'm not a statistician either, but you start multiplying these factors together and the odds become astronomical to the point of absurdity. Implausible, they say. Impossible, we say in plain English. So we'll be right back. Final segment coming up right after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't
come back.
Care if it hurts.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Friday, December 21st, 2018. We need to get our feet planted back on terra firma. We really do. And I don't know, it's a sobering message this time of year. But this is, history tells us, when men of infamy and ambition, shall we say, intrigue, cunning, ambition, are notorious for nefarious exploits. Who owns the Fed? In plain English, who owns the Federal Reserve Banks? St. Louis Fed. Federal Reserve Banks are not italicized, not a part of the federal government. And there is that picture, President Woodrow Wilson signing the Federal Reserve Act by candlelight, essentially, December 23rd, 1913. Secretary of the Treasury, speaking of the Treasury, William Wackadoo McAdoo. And, you know, there you have it. The rest is history. Congressman Mike Rogers, former FBI agent, House Intelligence Committee chairman, asked by Chris Wallace the Sunday following 9/11/12, Benghazi. Chris Wallace says, you just heard Ambassador Rice saying the attack on the consulate in Benghazi was a spontaneous demonstration. Yeah, that's what color revolutionaries and their, what do you call it? Their directors, their coordinators want to tell us all the time, that this was a spontaneous demonstration from a video that spun out of control. Do you agree? And he says, you know, as an FBI agent, et cetera, we have an opportunity to look back. You know, I have serious questions. It seemed to be a military style coordinated type of a deal. Then there was, you know, it happened on 9/11. That's interesting. Other information makes you stop for a minute and pause, he said. And then he said, and the first thing you learn as a young FBI agent is this. There are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are a lot of coincidences about this event. Again, you go back to 10 years ago, subprime contagion, same thing. 10 years before that, the dot bomb, same thing. Every time, you know how Alan Watts telling us constantly that fortunes are being stolen? Usually it used to be a generation, two, three generations. Now it's every, what, 10 years, 7, 8, 10 years? And now it's just gotten more out of control and out of hand than I think most people could even possibly conceive, even knowing it, even seeing it. It's just, it's almost incomprehensible. Anyway, that'll do it. I hope you circulate that. I hope you finish watching it. I hope we can talk about it as Americans. As always, I hope it's informative and truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.